So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let me read and just briefly comment on a couple of things or one or two things. And let me share this with you, if I may. Again, there's nothing new, but sometimes it's good to look over the old things because they're there to help us and to guide us and to bless us. The Apostle Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 1 of 2 Timothy and said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous or dangerous times will come." And then he begins to, in these next few verses, we won't get into all of them, but he begins to elaborate as to what he's talking about and to describe why we're in the midst of those days, or what those days would be like. And when we look at them, we can readily see here that we're living in those days. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, for example, and things of that nature. People without natural affection. And we could go on and on and on. But I see the need, beloved, today for having conferences like this one and meeting periodically from time to time during the year to hear the Word of God and have the brethren come and preach at your church, at our church, and wherever we may have a conference, because we need to be steadfast in the faith. I'm not looking for something new. I'm looking to the old path, wherein is the good way. And walk therein, and I'll find rest for my soul. Turn now back with me, too, if you would, to Philippians chapter number 2. Brother Gordon did a marvelous job this morning, and it blessed my soul. I'll try not to retrace his steps. But I find in the Word of God some things that I believe will bless us and strengthen us and help us as we leave here this week to go back home to get back to the things that God would have us do. I'm not saying you're not. All I'm saying is sometimes we need to give us a little pat on the back and keep going. And that's what I'm looking for. Listen what Paul said here to the church at Philippi. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." For a few moments this afternoon, I want to speak to you about someone who's very dear and precious to my heart. Means a lot to me. His name is Jesus, the name which is above every name. I believe today, as we begin, his name is due respect. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship today. And as verses 9 through 11 have told us, his name is above every name. There's no name that compares with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll give you some things that came to my mind and some things that I've read in the Bible that real quickly will identify that I'm talking about the same one that has saved you, has saved me by his marvelous grace. As I look at it, then, we're not here to think of a babe in a manger as the world would have us to think today. I'm thinking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords this afternoon. And I worship today. I worship an exalted Lord and Savior who died for me at Calvary to save me from my sin. And today I know from my Bible that he's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, interceding for us. I wanted, and I might as well say this now while it's still fresh in my mind. Put your finger here and come back with me to Hebrews chapter 7, please. I wanted to preach on compromise. Because one of the things that disturbs me and causes me great concern is compromise going on in Baptist ranks. And it bothers me. It ought to bother each of us today. It ought to trouble us to see what's going on. But I heard Brother Asbury yesterday said we're not here to say anything bad or sharpen our swords or anything. But you know what? Please, for God's sake, stay in the old paths. Wherein is a good way. Walk therein and you'll find rest for your soul. Don't go back to or be a part of this stuff that our brother just preached about to us.
Amen.
Stay with the Word.
Amen.
And so as I look at this, I just wanted to say about my Savior. Wherefore, in verse 25 of chapter 7 in Hebrews, He is able to save, or able to also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. My Bible said also, the Apostle Paul writing said, there's but one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And today I'm not looking for a famous attorney. I don't need one. I've got the best man to represent me, and he's never lost the case. He's always won. Everybody he died for, everyone he shed his precious blood for, he's going to get and take one day to glory, and we're going to be with him. Praise God today. My friend, there's a name. What do you think when you hear of a name? I think of Judas, and I think he was a traitor. He betrayed the Savior, if you will. He had accompanied with him and everything else. But now I think of the name of the one that went to Calvary one day. Just a little over 2,000 years ago, and there laid down his life and died for us because we couldn't do ourselves any good whatsoever. And I find that his name is a powerful name. And in him we live and move and have our being, do we not? You see, today, in his name, it's a precious name, the name of Jesus. And it's a saving name. When I think of Jesus, I think of what he's done for us. When I see someone saved by the grace of God, it thrills my soul because I recognize that they've repented and believed in their heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God saved them. And that blesses me. But, beloved, today that name reminds me of him who one day soon is going to come back and get us. And I rejoice in that. One day every redeemed individual will go home with him and go to glory. And when you mention today the name of Jesus, we're reminded, if you will, that there is forgiveness with him. We're reminded that he has love for those that are lost in their sin, of the elect of God, if you will, and hope for the hopeless and help for the helpless. And the day God saved me, I came to that place where I felt helpless. He saved me. And I'm thankful for that. I never got over it. Let me show you something. Put your finger here. Let's go back over to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, if you will, please. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. What do you think about the name of Jesus? I ask you today, where does that place you? What is your feeling toward him? Do you love him today? I love him, but you know what? He first loved us, did he not? He first loved us. And when I think of this and I look in this writing in Isaiah chapter 9, I see this and my Bible thrills my soul. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Listen, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. There's no name like the name of Jesus. Praise God today for that reality and that truth that He's revealed to us. He didn't have to do that. And you and I didn't earn our salvation, but He purposed to redeem us from before the foundation of the world. He's worthy of our praise and our worship today. So according to our text and in other places, what we find there, beloved, is it comforts our minds and it blesses our souls and thrills our hearts, if you will. And He's our friend and He's our Savior and He's our deliverer and He's our comforter. My Bible also said He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah and He's our soon coming King. I look back and I see Brother Larry Ellis, and I thought of what he said last night and put his glasses in the pocket like this. Brother, I can't see a thing now. You're a blur. And if I don't put my glasses on, I can't read my outline. I can't see the Bible. Oh, that's better. But God's been awful good to us. And we mentioned the name of Jesus. My thoughts go back as I thought about this outline and studied it and began to prepare it and everything else. I thought of that Sunday afternoon 47 years ago in the back of a Baptist church in Warren, Michigan, when I went to that pastor. I asked him if he'd married Nancy and I. He said, no. What do you mean? He said, because you're lost. And you know what? I love him for that, and I respect him for it. Because he told me the truth. He could have left and walked out right then. But no, he stayed. And he started telling me about the one who died in Calvary. Started telling me about the blood that was shed at Calvary. Started telling me that I needed to trust him as my own Savior and Lord. And there's not a name like that name. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but the name of Jesus. And he cared enough to tell me about him. And he said, Bill, you can be saved right now where you're at. And he led in prayer. I was on my knees in that little office. And we said, amen. I didn't feel any different when he started. And we talked some more. And he prayed again. And I received Jesus as my personal Savior. I'm not perfect. Listen, I'm just a sinner. One of the brethren said they're sinners. Saved by grace, I am too. He stayed with me, though. He stayed after me. Brother, you got a new member over here. One Sunday he came to me. He said, did you enjoy what you heard? I said, yeah. And he said, why don't you come back tonight? I never went to church on a Sunday night, but I started. And you know what? I got a blessing from it. Remember that, Hugh? I never got over it. Amen. So when you mention the name of Jesus, you mention a wonderful name. Amen. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful name, a powerful name, a great name. He's also called the Great I Am. He's also called the Great Physician. He's also called the Good Shepherd, if you will. He guides and provides for those who believe on him. And never in human history, until Jesus came on the earthly scene, was one ever born a living being from a virgin womb. And Jesus was born of a virgin. Now those people that we just heard about, these pseudo-intellectuals of our day, would tell us that would be virtually impossible, brother. But you know what? Nothing's impossible with God. And what the Bible said he did, he did. And what the Bible says he will do, he's going to do. And he's going to come back one day and get us. Never has there been a person like Jesus who was nailed to the tree of the cross and shed his precious blood and taken down from that tree and laid to rest in that borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And then after 3 days and three nights, he came forth from the grave. And it was a fulfillment of what he said in John 14 and verse 19, if you want to look back there. But he told the disciples, he said, because I live, thou shalt live also. And he's alive today. I don't worship and serve a dead God. My God lives today. And in him we live and we move and we have our being. We serve a wonderful Savior today. You say you Baptists are too straight-laced and everything else. No, we just, by the grace of God, try to follow God's worship according to God's Word. Don't ever have to apologize because you believe what the Bible has to say. Whatever we have to preach, we can preach from the Word of God, and we want to preach doctrine or godly living or the truth of creation or the truth of the second coming. Whatever you want to preach today, as the Spirit of God leads you, you can find the truth in the precious Word of God. So I want to speak to you for just a few moments today about that name. I don't even know, as I've tried to hack up some things that have been said before and everything, but there's several points I want to make with you for just a few moments. Simple. This is not an abstract message. It's not a detailed message. It's not a difficult message. But I learned it in a Baptist church. And I learned it from the Word of God. And I learned it from my pastor. And I thank God for him. First thing I want you to see today, the name of Jesus is the greatest name that could ever be bestowed on somebody. And I think it only belongs to one person rightfully. My Savior, my Lord, and my God. The precious Savior, Jesus, stands out in history more than any dignitary that ever walked the face of this earth. I don't care what the headlines say. I don't care what the newscasters say or anything else. There's nobody like Jesus Christ. And more prominent, I get to thinking, and let me take you back to chapter 6 and verse 15. I'm not talking about some of this false worship and everything else, but I know one thing. I want to read this in light of my Savior and my Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15, if you would. Listen to what he said. He said, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Isn't that wonderful today? Do you know him? Let me just ask you. I'm going to ask you some questions today. One of the fellow that supplied for me when I left was preaching for me. He said there'll be a test tonight. So you need to come back and be here Sunday night. He said there will be a test. You know, and I guess everybody was back. Of course, as a pastor, I called back and see, is everything okay and everything else. But you see, as a name, the name of Jesus is more honored. It's more grievously hurt or hated by the world, if you will. Because the world that you and I live in today, they don't want decent moral living anymore. They want to do their thing. And if they say that a man and a woman can relate to one another and have sexual intercourse, if you will, you say, preacher, you shouldn't preach it. You're meddling. But I tell you something, the Word of God condemns that. God gave us one wife, and wives, they have one husband, and that's what the Bible teaches us. And so I appreciate that. And I want to stand for that and declare that, if you will. And when I see what my Savior says to us, He condemns sin and extols the virtue of living moral, godly lives for His honor and His glory, if you will. And as a name, Jesus is more honored and more hated. As I said, He's more acclaimed and more accused. And Jesus is a joyful name, which has awakened more gladness and has promoted more rejoicing throughout the whole world than any other. There's no one like the Lord Jesus Christ. I looked at a message in my briefcase the other day. I had preached years ago about there's nobody like Him. And truly today, still the same. There's nobody like Him. My friend, He is greater than all He bestows. He's better than all of His blessings. His riches, if you will, are unreachable, and His glories are indescribable. My Savior, my Lord, and my God. Very few subjects remain fresh, if you will, fresh enough and attractive enough to promote, if you will, the continual attention that needs to be given to the thought and the study and the nurture of reading the Word of God. But in Jesus Christ, we find a character or a person, a being, if you will, from which we see blessings of great joy. Came down to this earth to suffer, bleed, and die to save us. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. No wonder the Lord inspired Isaiah to write those words. But then secondly, this afternoon, what's the meaning of the name? The name Jesus. Someone were to ask you today, what's your opinion about that? Let me take you back. Let's look back in Acts chapter 9 and verse 5 with me, please, if you would. Acts chapter 9 and verse 5. Of all the names known to man, the one most precious is the name Jesus. Like the Apostle Paul, all who have been brought to know Him, look in Acts 9:5. And He said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now what happened? In the noonday dust, that day that they were out there, old Saul of Tarsus laid in the ground in the dust of the earth, if you will. And then he, through his life, after he came to be doing a mission work for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was put in jail, the jailer at Philippi locked him up, and he was fastened in the stocks in the innermost part of that prison cell. Silas was with him. And as we see this, and it takes place, and the Lord said unto him, oh, I'm going ahead of myself here. When he met him, though, he said to him, the Lord said to him, he said, what should I do, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And what happened? He went into the city. Now, God didn't do anything halfway. And what he did, he was all prepared to bring somebody into his life and prepare him for the work that was he was being called for. And there was, in verse 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Now listen to what he said. How can I identify him? How would you find some stranger, somebody you'd never met before, didn't know before? By what means would I know it was him? He said over there, for behold, he prayeth. He was praying. You see, the Lord got a hold of him. And Ananias got down to verse 17 in the latter part of the last half of that verse. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. What a wonderful blessing that was in the life of the Apostle Paul. The Lord used him to write 14 books of the New Testament. Much of what you and I believe about church truth, the Spirit of God inspired the Apostle Paul to write. And he taught us these things and thrilled our souls with the Word of God, if you will. And Jesus is the name then. As we read these things and these experiences of the saints of God, we come to the realization that Jesus is the name that is above every name. What a marvelous name that he is. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. The Lord sent two angels to both Mary and Joseph. Look back in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 with me, if you will. And then we'll move on. But I wanted to show you this. Matthew chapter 21, or chapter 1 and verse 21. As we see this, the angel came and appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Thou son of David, fear thou not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. That's in verse 20. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He also sent one to Mary. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31, she was informed of what was to take place. And God was preparing things. And you see, the salvation that you and I have, that we enjoy and we praise God for today, was not an afterthought with God. That was purpose from the very foundation of the world. It was still planned back in eternity past, if you will, for the elect of God. How worthy are we? I'm not worthy. I'm a sinner. Sometimes I stutter and sometimes I stammer. But you know what? I one thing I know. If I don't know anything else about this life, I know that Jesus Christ saved my soul 47 years ago, and I've never gotten over it. I haven't. I had a lot to learn. And I'm thankful there was somebody who cared enough to take his time to bring me along and show me those things. I must say this. One night I was sitting with Brother Clark in the midst of 50,000 people. And he said, how would you like to be preaching there right now? And I had just surrendered to preach. But it would have been wonderful to tell people about your Savior and your Lord, wouldn't it? You see? So as we see this, when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're given, if you will, the promise of pardon and peace and deliverance from sin and hell. Some people say it's very basic and very fundamental. But I'll tell you what, I never got over that. I can't forget it. So that name, then, is a name that's above every name. There's not a name that compares. The name of Jesus was given to the Savior of mankind in his lowly birth, as though he was despised and rejected of men. Yet that name stands out for all that was most precious to God and should be most precious to us. Question one. What do you think of your salvation? What does it mean to you? Are you thankful for it? Do you praise God for it? And when you pray, do you ask God to help you through life, or do you just say, well, I can handle this myself? What do you pray for your pastor? And as your pastor preaches the Word of God, do you believe what the Bible teaches you, and do you stand fast for the Word of God like we're taught to in the Bible? And when you say, preacher, you're meddling. No, I'm just sharing with you a burdened heart and concern that I have. And you might be saying, well, he must have trouble in his church. No, not right now, at least when I left. And before that, we didn't have any problems. All I'm saying is that God teaches us some things, and he expects us, as the Bible said, to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. God help us to see that and to understand it. As I see this and everything else, when I think about it and what God's done for us, many scholars of our days have sought to redesign or reinvent the Savior. And they want to conform Jesus to man's thoughts and man's ideas of who he is. We want to make him our image, if you will, and like man. And we want him to understand what man feels like. Well, I'll tell you what, you can say you want to understand more what God thinks about you. You want to know what the Bible has to say about the way you live. And instead of imposing man's ideas on the Scripture, we need to trust his Word as the Word of God in all truth that it is. And believe it, because you and I serve a Savior today that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changing. He's unchangeable, and thank God that he is. If he could change and he see something that we thought or something that we did or something we're planning to do, take our salvation away, but he stays the same and he deals with us. If you're his, one of the blessings you have as a child of God is he chastens you. He chastens every son whom he receiveth, he says. So he corrects us. Thank God he doesn't leave us to ourselves. You see, the Bible tells us who he is, and to turn from what the Word of God has to say is to live in darkness and uncertainty. And any rejection of the truth that is found in the Bible ends up in confusion and doubt and unbelief. The world's full of people like that today. I want to hear what you brethren have to say. What do you believe about the Bible? How's your feeling toward it? And when the Bible corrects, even it corrects preachers, it corrects pastors, doesn't it? God comes to us and talks to us through his Word. He corrects us, and if we're off base somewhere, he's going to come to us, and he's going to speak to us. He's going to guide us. And I know God chastens because I've been chastened. And I understand that. You don't have to hit me through in the head with a 2x4, but I do know when he deals with me. And I'm thankful for it. He doesn't leave us to ourselves. If he did, many of us would be in bad shape right now. You see, the Bible tells us then what he really thinks about us. Now, let me ask you now. What does the name Jesus mean to you? Just think about that just for a moment. What does that name that's above every name mean to you? Have you confessed to God, if you will, if there was sin in your life, or have you kept it a secret? One of the brethren read today in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. He said that wonderful verse of Scripture. Said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brother, You don't hear many people confessing sin anymore. Don't hear many people get troubled about something wrong and some things that they've done against the Word of God and the God of the Word. I don't see that much anymore. Everybody today, when we think we've done all right and we're getting along fine, man's filled with pride. Oh, I'm all right. I've done this, I've done that, but that's okay. But man's filled with pride. But yet the Bible says if we confess our sin, so I'm saved. But salvation doesn't give this preacher standing before you this afternoon any license to go out and live like the world,
Amen.
To talk like the world,
Amen.
To find fellowship in the world. This Bible speaks to our lives and we will find a guidance to where we're living and how, what we're doing, what we're thinking,
Amen.
Where we're going, you see. And you say, well, I'm smarter than that preacher. You might be, but I'll tell you what, God didn't call you to preach, He called him to preach. And God's got an idea and a purpose and a reason for your life.
Amen.
And we're to follow our pastors, are we not? Now, when I look into the Bible, you say, well, what's that got to do with the name of Jesus? But my Bible said in the book of Hebrews, obey them that have the rule over you. For they watch for your soul. And they care about you and recognize that. And if you don't see something eye to eye, get down on your knees and pray for that pastor. He's having some difficulties just like you do, perhaps. I say perhaps. But we need to help them. We need to support them. We need to love them. And we need to care for them. Got quiet in here all of a sudden. Inside of one or two preachers amening it. But that's the truth. Have you talked to your pastor or have you prayed for him lately? Have you told your pastor you love him? Huh? I'll tell you what, and I'm not trying to butter anybody up or anything else, but I'm such a person, I'm not ashamed to tell my wife I love her. You know? Even though she's got a big wooden rolling pin over my head. No, she doesn't do that. But what I am saying is if you love him, tell him, pray for him.
Amen.
Care for him. And if you say, well, I don't see it the way he does it or what he says, hey, the Bible teaches you something. And what do you do when the Bible speaks? You see, and are we listening to what God's Word has to say? I want to take you back here if I can find that verse quickly enough. And understand, here, come back with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Please, take your Bible just for a minute. What's this got to do with Jesus? All right, who organized the church? Jesus did. Who gave authority to the church? Jesus did. Who commissioned that church? Jesus did. Who's going to be in his bride one day? And I'll tell you, you may not agree with me, but I believe it'll be faithful people saved by the grace of God from local New Testament Baptist churches. Now, that's what I believe. And in order for us to do right, and I remind myself, to do right and live right, listen to what the Bible said in Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey them. So I don't obey anybody. Well, I'll tell you what. We better obey the Lord. Now, he's talking about a pastor, I believe. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls. As they that must give an account or give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief. You see, one day we'll have to give an answer, brethren, to the Lord.
Amen.
And even now when you pray for somebody because you love them and they're not even seeing what they've done to the church or to themselves. And no doubt to the pastor, if you will. And he says over here, and not with grief, he said, for that is unprofitable for you. Don't you think God's men have an interest and a concern for you? I would imagine right now, if I asked every God-called preacher to rise right now, stand up, and I would ask you, and you'd give me an honest answer, you would say that I do care for my people, and God's given me the pastor. We do care for them. Pray for them. Help them. Assist them. I know that when I started going out, I went through phases when I got saved. That took a while. Brother Clark stayed with me. I finally started going out in visitation, and one night he gave me call to make or to go down door to door in one particular street and knock on the door and witness to them. And there was another fellow with me. I said, boy, I can't do that. I've never done anything like that before. But he's a pastor. So I went. I went to the first door, and I was talking all the way down the sidewalk. I told this fellow, I said, Al, when we get there, now you talk first. I've never done this before. You knock on that door, and you tell them, and I'll understand what we need to do, and I'll do the next house. We went up to the house, and he didn't knock on the door. I knocked on the door. The fellow came to the door. He didn't talk. I had to start talking. And that's what happened. But you learn that way. And he nurtured me to bring me along. You might say, you got a lot to learn, preacher. Maybe I do. I don't know. But I do know one thing. Because of that name that's above every name, I'm thankful that I can serve him who died for me. Friend, today, I don't even know what time I started, brother. I have a terrible habit. I don't look at the clock. I'm almost done anyway. But, you know, maybe somebody here is saying, I'll be glad when he is done. But I think of what the Bible said, and I learned so much about my Savior, my Lord, from the Word of God. There's forgiveness in that name. You know that? And I've sinned. I said already, I'm a sinner saved by grace. But there's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, and as we look, and sometimes I'll talk to Brother Jones and or one of the other brethren, what are you preaching tomorrow on a Saturday afternoon? We're preaching tomorrow. I said, well, we're settled. It's what I thought I'd preach and everything else. I said, what are you preaching? He said, I'm not settled yet. Or it might be the reverse. I might still be groping and praying and trying to find something to preach on Sunday. But you know what? There's preaching. There's preaching in the name of Jesus. You see, there's remission of sin, forgiveness of sin, in the name of Jesus. I don't know if it touches you like it does. I right now I have goosebumps just thinking about my Savior and my Lord. I just can't get over that. There's blessing in the name of Jesus. There's a relationship with God and with God's children in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a church home because Jesus organized the first one at Jerusalem, did he not? He walked 65 miles to get Baptist baptism. And it meant something to him. And so we have this. And let us not, if nothing else, and if you said, well, I stuttered and stammered, I do that sometimes. But if you don't get anything else from this today, just consider how wonderful it is to be saved, to be a Baptist, and be in the kind of church that Jesus built. And have a pastor that cares for your soul and your spiritual well-being and prays for you and helps you and seeks to strengthen your faith in what the Word of God has to say. We're fortunate. We're fortunate. I tell you what, Brother Clark may not remember this, but one Wednesday night, I've never gotten over it. I said to Brother Clark, I said, Brother Clark, what's it like being called to preach? He said, Billy, he said, wait till everybody goes home and we'll go across the street and we'll talk about it. You remember that? And I said, Brother Clark, you're not talking me into anything. And I ran, boy. I mean, just hit the back door and went out and got in the parking lot. And Nancy said, where you been? I said, I've been talking to the preacher. But you know what? One Sunday morning, and I'll never forget this either, in the name of Jesus, he called me to preach again and didn't let me go. I couldn't sleep. I sat up in bed one night and I spoke out loud in bed. I said, I'll preach. Just let me sleep. I did. That's the truth. One time he had a missionary in a revival meeting. My wife looked at me in the invitation of that service. She said, you're called to preach, aren't you? And I said, be quiet. But it wasn't too many days later. I went up to Brother Clark. I just about broke his neck. I grabbed him around the neck. I said, Brother, I've got to preach. And he encouraged me. And when your pastor cares about you enough to encourage you and loves you enough to pray for you and help you along the way, we need to support him. We need to pray for him. We need to understand that he really does love us and he gives evidence that he loves us. And you know what? To have a godly man as a pastor is a precious blessing. And I'm here to tell you today, my pastor cared for me. And I know that. Yes.
Amen.
I remember one day I called him. My dad lived a rough life. I came from a broken home. And I remember one day I got a hold of my dad. My dad had been diagnosed with lung cancer. And I brought my dad out to the house. And we were sitting there. Started witnessing to my dad again. And I believe the Lord was dealing with my dad. And I called Brother Clark. And he rushed out to the house. And it wasn't but a few minutes. Down on our knees, all three of us, my dad trusted Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior.
Amen.
And you know what means so much to me today as I stand before you, beloved? My dad's in glory today with the Lord, who bought him with his precious blood.
Amen.
That's what matters. That's what I really care about. And once they're saved, we need to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're to tell them about Jesus, the name about it, above every name. We're to teach them church truth so they can understand and see these things. There was one of our church members came to me one Sunday and he said, Brother Bill, he said, I put on cable TV and there was a man in this church, a pastor of it, and had several thousand members. He said that preacher came out there on the platform, he said, and he had a T-shirt on and a baggy old pair of pants, no Bible. And he came out there to preach, and you know what he preached? I said, no. He said, the difference between introverts and extroverts. That's not preaching the Word of God. And everybody needs to hear the Word of God. Know why you believe what you believe and know where to find it so you can prepare to declare it and tell others about it. So you can tell them about Jesus Christ who died for you at Calvary. So lastly, my friend, we need to bow to that name. I don't try to pride myself in anything. You say you've got nothing to pride yourself for. That's right, I don't. But a day is coming. And soon the Lord is going to come back. I know He's coming in the rapture. I know He's going to take us up when He comes. But I know something else. After the tribulation, He's going to come back and we'll come back with Him. And we'll prevail. He's going to prevail in the battle of Armageddon. And we're going to come back and rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. Somebody said, well, I believe this, that, and the other thing. Well, get back in the Bible. Understand it's a pre-tribulational rapture. Understand that we're not going as believers in Christ Jesus. We're not going through the tribulation.
Amen.
He's going to take us out. Because the tribulation won't begin until after He's called us up to meet Him in the air. And so when that happens, we're going to be home with the Lord. And there's some loved ones up there we're going to see again. I see my granddad over there. My granddad was 93 years old when he went home to be with the Lord. He prayed all night long, it seemed. When I'd go down to Kentucky and we'd be there for a vacation for a few days or a week or more, every night he'd gather everybody around and we'd pray. He'd pray. He loved the Lord. I remember that so carefully and so well. And what was my first exposure to somebody that was saved that I can recall? Till I got into a Baptist church with Nancy. And I just went to go to that Baptist church because she was going there. But you know what? God saved me. And I rejoice in that. I praise God for His grace and His mercy. Because today, if Jesus came back, we're going up. We're going to be with Him throughout eternity. Every creature should bow to Him who is sovereign. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our thanksgiving. He's worthy of our shouting hallelujah. He's worthy today because everywhere among all nations and kindreds and tribes, if you will, every knee's going to bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that day, even unbelievers will acknowledge His presence, if you will. And if you will, the Scriptures teach us not to go along with some of this false doctrine that's going on, but they point us to willing worship of Jesus Christ, that we might worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
The Bible said God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must. It's not a matter of opinion. Must worship Him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. That's our God. That's our Savior. And that's our Lord. and that's our soon coming King. May God bless you.